And let's take our Bibles tonight and go to the book of John, chapter number 15. The Gospel of John, chapter number 15. And speaking of the Gospel of John, I had a lady call me today and ask me if we wanted to sell our house in Colorado. Said that they got word that we wanted to sell our house in Colorado. And I said, well, I can't remember wanting to sell our house in Colorado since we purchased our house in Colorado. But I thank you for calling, and I tried to be nice to her. And I said, we've had several of those calls of late. And she said, I'm sure you have, because there's a lot of people looking for homes in Colorado now. And so we visited for just a short time. And when she, as she started to hang up, I said something that I've been saying to a lot of robocalls and one thing or another, people calling when I don't know why they're calling and so forth. And I said, ma'am, be sure you don't die without Jesus. And she said, excuse me? And I said, be sure you don't die without Jesus. And she said, well, I'm going to try not to. She said, I try to say my prayers every day, and I'm doing the best I can, and I hope I'll make it. And I started to say something, and I saw a little bit of resistance. I said, ma'am, would you just do this? Would you get your Bible and just read the Gospel of John and read it with an open mind, asking God to speak to your heart? And when you're finished, you just do what you know God's told you to do after you finish reading the complete book of the Gospel of John. She said, well, thank you for that counsel. And she said, I'll start that tonight. And so it's the Word of God that's going to win people to Christ. And we thank you, thank the Lord for the opportunity to boast on Him. John chapter 15, if you've had your place, say amen. Amen. Beginning in verse number 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. The word husbandman means farmer. He's the one in charge of the farm. He's the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And so, as we look at this portion of Scripture, actually our text is verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. And as we think about the work that God has for us to do, it's a work for the entire body to do. When I wake up in the morning, I have to argue sometimes with different parts of my body to get them to cooperate with the other parts of my body. But if all of my body doesn't cooperate like it's supposed to, it's difficult for my complete body to get the job done that it's set out to do that day. And in a New Testament Baptist church situation, God has placed members within that body, and every member has a responsibility, yea, and a high privilege to labor with that body to accomplish things for the cause of the Lord Jesus. And when a body doesn't do what it's supposed to do, if that was an important job, and if God gave it to you, it is important. He's not going to assign an unimportant job to anyone. And so if a part of the body doesn't do what it's supposed to do, then another part of the body has to make up for that part of the body. I remember there used to be a program on TV. It was called You Ask For It. And they had some real unusual things. And I remember one time they had a cowboy on there that he was born with no arms. And he grew up on a ranch. He wanted to be a cowboy. And so the one thing that marked him as not being a cowboy is he never wore boots. He never wore shoes. He never wore socks. And he did everything with his feet, most everything anyway, that most people could do with their hands. The two things I saw him do that impressed me as a young man. Number one, I saw him rope with his feet. Did a super job. And number two, I saw him roll a cigarette with his feet. Now, I guess that's determined you're going to get cancer. But his feet took the place of his hands, but I'm sure that he would have been willing to have two good arms and each member of his body doing what it's supposed to be doing. And so tonight, as we think about the workers' meeting, as we think about what's going to transpire in the history and the life of Bethel Baptist Church going down the road, we have these thoughts for you. And as we think about the paths to profitable service, the title of our message tonight, the paths to profitable service. Now, I'm going to hurry through these. We have some Bible verses. We've written them down so we don't have to take the time to go back and forth, though that's certainly worth the time, but we're trying to make use of all the spare minutes we have. So number one, be prayerful. Well, no, excuse me, back up. We need to, first off, we need to, and we're probably guilty too often of this, assuming that we're dealing with a completely saved group of people. And the truth is, if you're not born again, you're not going to get to heaven. And you're not going to be born again unless somebody shows you from the Word of God how to be born again. And I trust that you'll understand and know that Jesus loves you. He went to the cross for you as much as for anybody. And I would urge you, as best I know how, whether you're here or you're watching on live stream, I would urge you to trust Jesus. Consider Christ. Consider His great love for you. Consider the loss. The loss in this life. You know, I know people that are wanting to, and I've had people tell me, I'm going to get the best out of this life, and just before I die, I'm going to get saved so I get to go to heaven. Well, there's a couple fallacies in that. Number one, you're assuming that the life of a lost person is better than the life of a saved person. And I don't believe that it is. We need to be saved, need to be born. And they assume that the life of a lost person is better than the life of a saved person. Well, I've been both. Saved and lost. And I would certainly recommend the life of a saved person over the life of a lost person. That's one fallacy. The second fallacy is they have no idea when they're going to die. The old people used to say, many people that want to repent at 11 o'clock die at 10 o'clock. And we need to understand that the seconds tick away in our life. We only have so much sand in the hourglass. And when it's gone, it's gone. Never to be recalled again. And so I'd recommend Jesus. And so I'm speaking tonight to save people and perhaps a lost person who needs to be saved. God's been knocking on your heart's door and you've been putting it off and putting it off and wanting to wait. And I just encourage you, don't wait. Don't wait. Today's the best day. Now is the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation if you're not saved. And you'll never regret being saved. I've heard people regret a lot of things at the end of a long life. But I've never heard anyone say, I'm sure sorry I got saved. I sure wish I hadn't got saved when I was a teenager. Sure wish I hadn't got saved when I first got married. Sure wish I... No, I've never heard anybody say that. They all seem like they're greatly satisfied and I have great stakes in the fact that they did get saved. What a wonderful thing it is to know the Lord Jesus. So, once you're saved, on the road, the path to profitable service, number one, be prayerful. Be prayerful. I'm reminded again that you don't have to be in a certain place. It doesn't have to be a certain time of day. It doesn't have to be certain weather. You don't have to hold your hands a certain way when you pray. You can pray driving down the road. In fact, anymore, driving down the road would be a good thing to be praying a little bit. Pray for yourself and the cars next to you too. But we need to be prayerful. In Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, of whom he named apostles. So here we find the story of Jesus praying all night and really in an attitude of prayer. He had an important decision to make, and so he spent time in prayer. And God's people, listen, tomorrow is an important day. The rest of this day is an important time. We ought to pray and ask God to prepare our path by prayer. And here's some things we ought to pray for. Number one, we ought to pray for power. It's not by might nor by power, saith the Lord, but my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And we need to understand the need for prayer and power. And then we need to pray for piloting, that God will lead us, that God will guide us, that we're following him, knowing that where he leads us, he's going to take care of us. And we all always ought to be watching him and following him as he pilots us. And then we need to pray for people. It's a sad day when I hear a preacher say, and he's not absolutely joking, somebody will say, how's the ministry? And he'll say, well, it's just pretty good, except for people. But people are the ministry. People are the ministry. We need to pray for people. Secondly, we need to be pure. We need to be pure. Now, that's something you don't hear a lot talked about today in a lot of different churches. And they say, well, if you talk a lot about separation and purity, folk won't come. Well, if they come and they don't hear the word of God, they just will not come. And so we need to understand the importance of purity. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse number 11. Depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch not the unclean thing. Go ye out from the midst of her. Be clean, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And so God tells us we're supposed to be clean. We're supposed to be a clean people. We're supposed to be a pure people. And we need to understand that. There's a couple of reasons. We ought to be pure people for example's sake. What a shame it is when I witness to people and they say, well, I'm as godly as so-and-so is. And that person is, you know, they're telling people that they're a Christian and telling people they know the Lord, telling people they love the Lord. And when a person says to me, well, I'm as pure, I'm as separated, I'm as godly as so-and-so is, what a hurt. We need to be pure for an example, and then we need to be pure for effectiveness so that God can effectively use us. I say it all the time, God can hit some powerful licks with a crooked stick, but God has to own the stick, and we need to understand the importance of being pure. And then thirdly, be prepared. When a teacher comes to a Sunday school class and they're not prepared, shame on them. Shame on them. And it's really important to be prepared. You say, well, you know, they're just little kids and they won't know. Oh, listen to me. They'll know. They'll know. And if you prepare and they see you time and time and time again, that you're prepared, it'll make a difference to them. They'll see that they're important to you, that there's an urgent message in what you're giving and that you're putting a lot of labor of love and effort into it. We need to be a prepared people. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, if any man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. And so we need to be a prepared people by an inner commitment. We need to commit ourselves. I am going to be prepared. I'm going to do what it takes to be prepared. I'm not going to play around with it. I'm going to be a prepared person. And then not only inner commitment, but inner cleanliness. That goes back to the thought about being pure. And you know, I know from experience, having walked with the Lord, the time that I've known him, I know that if you really mean business and you say what David said, search me, O God, and know me, and try my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. And bingo, boy, the lights will start going on if you have something in your heart that God's not pleased with. Now, if you approach God and say, Lord, if I had something to confess, I'd confess it, but I don't have anything to confess, so I can't confess, then God's probably not going to talk to you much about anything. But when we want a clean heart, God will speak to our heart and he'll talk to us about it. And then fourthly, be presentable. Be presentable. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. And then Matthew 5 and verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I think God's people need to look like a saint. So many times today, you talk to people and there are all kinds of distortions in their dress and distortion in their fashion, distortions in their makeup. And you talk to them about Christ and the first thing they'll say is, oh yeah, I'm saved. Oh yeah, I'm saved. I got saved since then. Oh, we need to be a presentable people. We need to be a people that other Christians don't have to apologize for. And then, so we need to look like a saint, and then we need to look like a soldier. Man, a soldier has a uniform to wear. A soldier has to identify with other people. He has commands to keep in order. So look like as if you were a soldier. And then here's another one. Be prompt. Be prompt. Some people are always late. Always late. Somebody said, man, they're always late. They'll probably be late for their funeral. Well, I doubt that, but a lot of people are always late. And I've told you about Mrs. Freeman, and she's in heaven now saying, there goes Brother Sutton talking about me again. But I won't give you her story, but she's always, always late. Always had an excuse for being late. We need to be a prompt people. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 13 says, the slothful man said, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the street. We need to be prompt in order to benefit others. Others see our promptness. They see that it's necessary to us, essential to us. And then we need to be prompt not only to be a benefit of others, but to be blessed. I just believe God blesses with promptness. It's just important to Him. And we need to understand the importance. It ought to be important to us too. And then be progressive. Progressive. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 14, the Bible says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, written by the Apostle Paul, who I believe was probably the most prepared, most prompt, probably the most pure missionary the world's known other than the Lord Jesus himself. And he said, I've not yet arrived. I have not yet arrived. What a sad Christian is when there's nothing more for them to look forward to. No more hills to climb, no more goals to make, no more things to accomplish. What a sad thing. And we need to be progressive. Try to grow in your own walk with the Lord. Maybe you can go back in your mind. You think of somewhere today where you could have done something just a little bit better for the Lord. You could have walked a little closer. You could have paid a little more attention. When he spoke to your heart, you could have stopped and maybe listened just a little bit better. But try to grow in your walk with the Lord. And then try to grow in your work for the Lord. Reaching more people, raising more possibilities. And, you know, we all walk by people all the time. And the Lord will tug on our heart and say, stop and just brag a little bit about me. Just tell them what I've done for you. Just drop my name. Just give them a track. And we walk by. Oh, God, help us to be progressive, that we'd reach out to more people and that we would raise more possibilities. And then be perceptive. Be perceptive. In James chapter 1 and verse number 5, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, if any of you lacks wisdom, and so that's talking to the preacher, that's talking to brand new Christians, that's talking to people who've been saved for a long time, that's talking to anyone who's saved. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. If I have liberal wisdom, then I have more wisdom than I need at that very point. Liberal wisdom, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, now your boss might chew you out if you go ask him for a raise, but Jesus isn't going to chew you out if you go ask him for wisdom. And so God says that we're supposed to ask him for wisdom, and he's not going to upbraid us. And the Bible says if we do that, it shall be given to us. And so as we think about the wisdom we need, and Psalms chapter 100, or preceptiveness we need, Psalms chapter 142 and verse number 4, I looked at my right hand to beheld, there was no man that would know me, refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. And so we need to be perceptive. We need to ask God to show us when we're talking to people that don't know Christ. We're talking to people that aren't walking right with him. And we ought to be perceptive of whether or not the Holy Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that they're saved. Now, that doesn't always happen, and I know you can misjudge, and I know. But listen, I'd a whole lot rather someone come talk to me because they don't think I'm saved, as to think I'm saved and not, or yeah, think I'm saved and maybe be wrong about it. And so I've never had to apologize to someone that tried to witness to me, and I told. Last night of a young man I was talking to, and I think he was in the Philippines, I believe he was, from his accent. And when I told him, I said, don't die without Jesus. He says, oh, hallelujah. And we had a good time. He says, do you have a verse for me? And I gave him a verse, and then he said, let me give you a verse. And he gave me back a Bible verse. And I don't know what the company he's working for thought, but I'm sure heaven was excited about it. We need to be perceptive. The salvation of others, the shortages of others. We talk to people all the time that are needing things. And they've never said anything. But if we'll be perceptive, if we're walking with the Lord, if we have the insight that God wants to give us and the wisdom that God wants to give us, God can tell us things about those people that they wouldn't tell anybody. And as we perceive those things, then we can deal with them in that direction. And then be praising. This ought to be an easy one for every child of God. Psalms chapter 96 and verse number 8 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. You know, there's a command. You wonder, how in the world would we even do that? If we don't let the Holy Ghost of God glorify God through us, we're going to be violating that, because that we can't, as human beings, we can't give Him the glory that is due His name. So it says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Psalms 115, verse number 1 says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Two places we ought to give glory to God. Number one, we ought to do it privately. When it's just us and the Lord, ought to do just a, every once in a while you ought to do a happy dance. Someone says, what's that? Well, you can figure that out if you get happy and get right with the Lord. Just get happy in the Lord and talk to Him about it. It has nothing to do with speaking in tongues. Has nothing to do with seeing dreams and visions. Has nothing to do with that. It's just a happy heart. Glad for what God's done for you. Glad what He's doing for you. Glad for what He's promised He's going to do. Glad that one day you get to go to heaven. We ought to have a private time of praising Him. But then we ought to have a public time of praising Him also. That people know we've been with God. How important that is. And so be praising. And then be persistent. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The matter of fact is we just have to get up one more time we got knocked down. Muhammad Ali said that was the secret of a champion. They just get up one more time and they get knocked down. But I believe that's what God's Word teaches also. We just need to be persistent. Don't quit because you've been defeated. You're really not defeated until you quit. As long as you're willing to get up another time, you haven't been defeated. Now, you might have found a way that doesn't work, and you maybe have to adjust your approach, but you haven't been defeated until you give up, until you quit. And then don't quit because of discouragement. The world is full of discouragement. Man, you get your eyes on the world, the flesh, and the devil, and you can get discouraged in a New York minute. But don't quit because of discouragement. And then don't quit because of danger. Oh, how much danger we hear of today. I was on visitation the other day and knocked on a door and I didn't hear anybody in the house. Knocked on the door again, didn't hear anybody. There were several cars there. I was sure there must be somebody home. I knocked about the third time and didn't hear anybody. So I opened a glass door, a storm door. I opened it and knocked on the door. Didn't hear anybody, but there was a door knocker there. One of the old-fashioned knock. And I was going to put a track on that, and I opened the door and started to reach in. And a lady opened the door about that far. And she began to talk to me, and I introduced myself. And about the third time I said my name, she recognized who I was. And, oh, she said, oh, it's so good to see you. I didn't know. I've been wondering. And then she turned her head sideways so she could see me with both eyes through the little bitty crack of the door. And I opened the door to hand her a track. And she jerked the door back. She said, oh, no, sir, no, sir, no, sir. And she opened the door wider to slam the storm door shut than she did to talk to me. And I thought as I left to go back to my vehicle, oh, isn't it a shame that the world in which we live and all the hype that's on over all the things that are happening, and I know there's a lot of ruthlessness and ungodliness and, of course, the diseases and the illnesses that are floating around. We're living in a dangerous society. But don't quit because of danger. Don't quit because of danger. And then don't quit because of difficulties. Who said life's supposed to always be easy? You don't learn always walking downhill. Your muscles don't build up always walking downhill. There has to be some difficulties. If it wasn't for the problems, I'd never know that He could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God can do. And so don't quit because of difficulties. And then lastly, this is the one you're waiting for, right? Lastly, be patient. Be patient. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 25 says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." Be patient. Be patient. Somebody says, Rome wasn't built in a day. And I remember the times that I talked over and over and over to people. And then one day it's just like a light goes on. They understand. I think of Brother Harold Howard Brother Harold Howard came to church for a long time. One day came staggering down the aisle because of his age. He was stumbling. And I said, Mr. Howard, what are you come for? He said, I believe what I've heard you preaching. I want to get saved. And he gave his heart to Christ, became very faithful in church, came and came and came until his health wouldn't allow him to come anymore. Followed the Lord Jesus in believer's baptism, got excited about the things of God because someone was patient with him. Fact is, the lady that showed him great amount of patience, she ended up getting angry at us, and she told him, I'm leaving, let's go. We're not going to come to this church anymore. He said, you go running around to all the churches you want to run around to. You've been in nearly all of them in town anyway, but you brought me to this one, and this is the right one, and I'm staying here. And so patience pays off. Brother Hoyt, I've talked to you a dozen times. You all know Brother Hoyt as well as I do. And just patience and just the grace of God. And here's another thought. What if God had just given us one chance? What if he had only spoken to our heart one time and said, no, that's it. That's it. Oh, how we need to be patient. And when the kids come in on the bus and got the shoes on the wrong feet, maybe have unmatched shoes because they dressed in a hurry, and their hair's parted, well, parted everywhere it can part, and they don't smell exactly right. And that's how we were when we came to Christ. We need to be a patient people. And if we'll be patient, listen, I promise you that on some of the bus places we go, some of the people we invite, some of the children we bring in, there's preachers, missionaries, missionary wives, people that love the Lord Jesus all of their days, if we can just win them with the gospel. And chances are, they're not going to be won on the first presentation. Chances are. And don't be trying to cut a notch on your gun to get an early profession. Let the Lord work in their heart and their life. Tell them how to get saved. Let them leave with a message. Let God work on their heart. And be patient. Be patient with them and be patient with the Lord. Be patient with him. God has some wonderful things. God has done some wonderful things for us through this pandemic, whatever that is. God has done some wonderful things for Bethel Baptist Church. And I believe that getting started with the Sunday school again and the bus ministry and junior church and one thing or another, I believe we're going to see some greater things happen if the whole body works together. But if the hands happen to do the work of the foot, or the eyes happen to do the work of the ear, we're going to be handicapped, we're going to be hindered, and we're going to accomplish less than what God would like for us to accomplish. If we'll just labor together, God will help us, God will bless us, and while he's doing that, we'll bring honor and glory to him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight that you love us. What a wonderful thing it is to be in the work of the Lord, to be in the ministry of the Lord, to be in the work of God, and just to give the gospel to people and watch the Holy Spirit work in their lives and bring them, Lord, a whole 180 degrees around and turn them towards Christ, called repentance. What a wonderful thing that is. And so, Father, I pray that we'd live the kind of a life that we ought to, that would get on the path, that would lead to just a real positive service to you, a positive life for, as a child of God, and we do what we're supposed to be able to do because we are what we're supposed to be. So help us, Lord, I pray. Direct the rest of the meeting tonight, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.